on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
Hit hard, right field, and gone. And the Royals lead 1-0 in the second.
And the batter will be Nicky Lopez. The infield will be in.
Line, base hit, center field. Junior scores, Prado scores. And Nicky Lopez gives the Royals a 3-0 lead in the seventh inning. Now Melendez lines it to right, and Vaughn stayed back on it for a long hop, and the Royals are going to get another run.
Royals lead it 4-0. Melendez with his 13th RBI on this homestand.
Shallow right field. Vaughn is coming in. It will drop, and the Royals will get another run. With two outs and nobody on, the Royals get two singles and a walk, and they lead by three.
On the ground, second base side. Massey charges and throws, and the Royals have won the series 3-1.
What did you think of Vinny's plate appearances against Cease? I mean, the one to homer to get things started, but then the walk.
You know, this is another example. We've seen the hard hit, but for him to be able to get some loft on it, and you know, we needed a little jolt right there. You know, all day. I mean, we were just more efficient with the runs, the hits that we had. And guys came through in big situations. Nicky Lopez with the hit of the day in a situation where we needed something good to happen towards the middle of the field, and that's exactly what he did. And a couple guys adding on late. Just a great series for this group.
Kansas City, welcome to the Border Patrol on this Friday morning, August the 12th, 2022. My name is Nate Buchady. Marco Marquez is running the show today. Our man Stephen St. John, his duties as MC of the 100-year celebration of Sports Radio 810 WHB wrapped up sometime around midnight last night, and I think that his back is paying the price. Much like Mike Tyson, he's got a spinal situation. He'll be joining us in the next hour from the President Hotel. I spent the night at the President Hotel tonight, by the way. If you're ever in need of a great spot to stay downtown, best location you could possibly imagine, right in the heart of everything, check out my man Phil Strnad and the folks at the President Hotel. They're fantastic. Steven will be joining us from the President here at about 7 o'clock this morning. We've got a full Friday show for you. Stan Weber will join us at 6:30 and be with us all the way through the 7 o'clock hour, as he does on Fridays. We'll talk football, both college and pro, and whatever else is on our mind. We'll get a weather forecast from Gary Lezak, who was at the party last night. Stan Weber, of course, is at the party as well, hosting the K-State segment of the proceedings, along with Todd Lebo, who failed to deliver Bill Snyder. But we'll talk about that more later. Bill Snyder wanted to come. He tried everything he could to come, but got stuck in a planes, trains, and automobile situation. Anybody who's taken a flight anywhere over the past couple of months can tell you it's a nightmare out there traveling. And Coach Snyder got stuck in that, so he wasn't able to make it, but we had some great K-State guys, and we'll talk about that with Stan Weber, who did a great job up on stage last night, as you would expect. Annie Rogers will join us at 8:30 to talk about the Red Hot Royals. What a homestand. The Kansas City Royals, you heard the highlights there. They just keep on trucking. And Joel Goldberg hosted the Royals segment and the Royals panel last night. And our own Jeff Montgomery, Monty, was there as well. And I had a chance to talk with him a little bit backstage. And I said to him, man, it is so refreshing to watch these kids play. They're bringing this positive energy. The team just seemed like they were in a malaise earlier in the season, underperforming. And he said, you know, it's great that the young guys are bringing energy. Any young guy who is getting called up to the big leagues for the first time is going to have a lot of energy. You know, this is one of the most exciting things in their life. But they can play. They've got game. And that's what excites me the most. And I thought, man, yeah, that is. I mean, if it was just a bunch of young guys that didn't excite you because they didn't have, you know, well, they're fighting out there. They got some moxie to them, but they're not, I don't know if they're any good. That wouldn't be very exciting. But right now you feel like, you heard about Vinny Pasquantino there. Every time you watch his plate appearances, you can see what he brings to the table. Massey's out there making gold glove plays and getting on base at a 370 clip. And MJ Melendez just looks like he is blossoming right in front of our eyes. All these guys. And obviously, Bobby Witt Jr. is a player. So, really fun to watch right now. Really fun. So, we'll talk with
about those Royals.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And again, the pitching seems to be coming into their own a little bit. Brady Singer and Bubich did well last couple days. Greinke, the veteran, out there just dealing yesterday. 5 strikeouts and no walks and 6 1/3 of scoreless baseball. Gets his win. Royals are doing well. We'll talk with Annie Rogers. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll talk with Tim Grunhard, who was part of our Chiefs panel last night at the A-10 100-year celebration. And, of course, he was up there with Soren Petro talking Chiefs with Trent Green and Warren Moon. And, I mean, it was just it was a who's who last night. And so you're getting where I'm coming from to start the show today. Last night was really something special. And Marco, of course, you were there with your family, so I'd love to get your thoughts on it for a second. So, of course, you've heard us talking a lot over the last month or two about this 100-year celebration that we were putting on in honor of WHB Radio. It hasn't always been Sports Radio 810 WHB, but the signal letters, WHB, great history. And 100 years ago got their FCC license. And so Chad Boger had this big idea that he came to us with and said, hey, we're going to put on a 100-year birthday party, and we want to make it like the kind of events we used to do back in the early days of A10 WHB, like the Jim Rohn Tour Stop and the Big Boy Toy Show and things like that, where we get our listeners out there, we connect with our listeners, we get all the big sports personalities in town to come out and just make it a big party. And it's the kind of thing that only somebody like Chad Boger can pull off, you know, because it's just such a big idea. And it was a lot of work for a lot of people. And Stephen St. John was one of those people who put in a ton of work. Jason Justice, the Drake, Curtis Siebel. I mean, I shouldn't even start naming names because there's so many people that put in a ton of work to pull it off. But Chad Boger being at the top of the list he's been working on this thing day and night for a couple of months. And you hope that it goes well because it's a lot. It's a big undertaking. It was a big show. I think we were about an hour over schedule. I can see now why when they do the Oscars, they start playing music anytime somebody starts talking too long, because you got to get them off stage because you got to keep the thing moving. And that thing always goes over, by the way, too. So just shows like that, it's hard to keep them moving. The moment that really hit me last night, we got there early in the day and we're going through the run through of the show, and Stephen had really written out most of it and kind of scripted how everything was going to go, and Jessica Dixon was kind of running the whole show. She in terms of making sure everybody's mics were working, had the right number of chairs on stage for each little segment of the show. And there was a lot. I mean, there was a lot. It was a complicated show. There were five different musical acts, you know. We go through the walkthrough, went back to the President Hotel, showered up, got dressed up, came back, kind of did another walkthrough. And then when the VIP portion of the event started, like the doors opened at 5:45, I get a text from my wife saying, hey, it's kind of a long line out here. And I said, oh, shoot, I'm really sorry. She said, it's no big deal for me, but you might want to come out and let Trent Green in, because he's been standing in line. And I peeked my head outside, and the VIPs all showed up at the same time, because it was a brief window to get in. And the line was about two blocks long. And every single person in the line was a VIP. Like, every one of them. And I thought to myself, how am I supposed to let anybody in? Or like, it's like, you know, can you get me around the back door? Can you, get this? And by the way, Trent Green didn't ask for that. He didn't at all. And I went up to him and I said, hey, man, do you want me to try to get you in through the side door or something like that? And he goes, no, man, I'm good. You know, I'm good. I'm close to the front anyway. By now, by the time I got to him, the line was moving. It really was moving, but it was just everybody showed up at the same time, and had to go through and get checked in and all that stuff. But it really did dawn on me in that moment, like, the whole place is filled with VIPs. Like, every single person here is a VIP. I mean, it was something to behold. It really was, and it was a testament to this radio station's connectivity with the sports entities in Kansas City. And if you're listening right now, you know, the listeners. I said this when I got on stage yesterday, but I've been at Sports Radio 810 since 2004. And somebody from KCTV5 asked me to do an interview yesterday and was asking me about my history with the radio station, and it kind of hit me when I said that. Well, it's been 810 for, 1999, I believe they got the 810 signal. 1510 went to 810. I only missed on, like, the first 5 years of Sports Radio 810. But I was in town for those first 5 years. And I listened from across the street as they were building this thing. And honestly, those were the most important 5 years of this radio station. And so I've always felt a little bit like a newcomer here, even though I've been here for 18 of the 23 years. Because the truth is, you know, this thing started with Chad Boger and Jason Whitlock and Steven and the whole morning show crew, and Crunch Time with Tim Grunhard and Bill Moss and Frank Bohl, and of course Kevin Keatsman in the afternoons, and a bunch of the OGs were there last night. Guys like Dave Borchardt and Brian Truda and Nick McCabe, and those guys were all here, like, when the thing was nothing and became something. And it really was those first 5 years that it became something special. And I was not a part of that. Like, I always was like, man, those guys over there are having so much fun. Those are the cool guys. And so when I got the opportunity to come here, it was really, really exciting. And it was special to see all of the people that were there last night. And so if you were there, hopefully you're still asleep. Because it went kind of long. I was accused of talking long for my part, Marco. But I'll have you know that I was looking at the clock, and I was only 1 minute over for my budgeted time. Not everybody else can say the same thing. So while they're all firing shots at me, you know, they can point back at themselves.
Let it be known. Just 1 minute
one
over,
minute,
not 20.
For the record, 1 minute over. We're going to get to sports the rest of the day, but I did want to say a sincere thank you to everybody who put all the work in to make last night happen, because it was one of those things that I actually was thinking a lot going into it. Man, I'm going to be excited when this is over with, you know, just because it's so much work. And it really wasn't as much work for me as it was for other people, for a lot of other people. But I knew the whole time, like, and I remember I said this to Petro last night, you know, this has been a lot of work, but you know what? This night's going to be one of those nights that we remember for the rest of our lives. I mean, we'll be talking about that, about what happened at the Midland Theater, man. I just stood up there. I remember, like, when I had to get out there, get out there to do the Sporting Kansas City segment. And thank you, by the way, Sporting Kansas City was incredible with their support of the event. I mean, they brought us their biggest and best. I mean, Graham Zusi, Tim Melia, Roger Espinoza, Johnny Russell, and Daniel Shalloway. You know, they brought all of them, and they were sitting there front and center. They all came up and spoke. We did the panel together. But when I got out there, it was kind of when I was standing backstage getting ready to go out on stage. I mean, I don't know how many concerts I've seen at the Midland Theater. I can't even, I mean, I'd have to sit down and try to remember every one of them. They've all been great. And it's always been like my favorite venue to watch a show. I've never stood on stage there and looked up at the place packed, you know, like those musical artists get to do. I got to watch Stephen St. John do some Elvis last night, by the way. That was incredible. I didn't sing. I did dance a little bit.
My mom liked that a lot.
She
that
did?
Was good. Oh, yeah.
She did? Okay, good.
You got Danny hyped.
There you go. Your mom's awesome, by the way. Met your sister has offered to babysit for my children, by the way, so that's exciting. But I was thinking about, like, every sports hero from when I was a kid is in this audience right now, and all of a sudden I got nervous. And Tim Melia came up to me afterwards and said, dude, you are nervous. I kind of stumbled over my words when I spoke. He's like, I've never seen you nervous on a microphone before. And I was like, yeah, I'm just a nerd, you know, I guess to still claim KCK or not. I guess that's a debate, you know, but I'm a nerd from Kansas City who loved sports. And these guys were all like my favorite guys. And they're here in the audience tonight, you know, that I was nervous about that, because that's not something that I'm used to being a part of. And then the last thing late in the evening, I thought that all of my stage responsibilities had been fulfilled. So I was mingling with my wife and some of my friends. And then, this will shock you, Marco, but I was walking around telling long stories. And Josh Briscoe came running up to me and said, hey, man, they need you backstage right now. I've been told to get you backstage right now. And it's really important. And I was like, hey, man, I did all my stuff. I think I'm done. I've read the script. And he goes, well, they say you got to be back there right now. And I said, well, why? He said, I don't know why, but I'm just being told on the headset they want you backstage. So I follow him back there, and Steven's there. Hey, man, where have you been? I said, I was just out talking to people. He goes, well, you're supposed to be here with me right now. Why? He said, I don't know, but everybody keeps asking me where you've been. So we're standing there, and they tell us to go out on stage, and then they show up on the video board, Tom Watson. He couldn't be at the event last night, so he was giving a nice speech. One of the beneficiaries of the event last night, and by the way, the number one point of the whole thing was the charity component. The money we gave to Boys and Girls Club of Kansas City, the ALS Society of the Mid-America chapter, and Victory Project, which is the philanthropy that I'm on the board of for Sporting Kansas City that you know works with Children's Mercy for children battling cancer, and Sharewaves. And so Tom Watson's talking about it and all that, and then all of a sudden, Tom freaking Watson says, and this year's recipient, because we gave out a lot of ESPYs last night. You know, we do these regional ESPYs now, which has been really cool because we've been the first radio station that ESPN decided to use in the country to do this program of doing regional ESPYs. And we had a lot of high school kids and athletes and stuff that won awards last night and all that. And he said, and the honorary ESPYs for community service goes to Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady for the work that they've done. And I guess Ben Messner put the video together. I don't know. They didn't. Everybody had surprised us. I had no idea this was coming. And they talked about my work with the Victory Project and Big Steps, and of course Stephen's work with countless charities in town, ALS being at the top of the list. And dude, I have an ESPY. Look at that. I mean, look at that. I don't think that Stephen or I really deserve something like that. And I don't really know how they decided on that. It was one of the most touching moments of my life because, as you know, the Big Steps Foundation is incredibly personal to me because I lost a friend to cancer 10 years ago, and we're doing our last Big Steps race in Kansas City this year, coming up on August 21st. If you go to biggsteps.org, by the way, you could sign up to run, walk, or volunteer. And the money goes to the KU Cancer Center and Camp Kesem, which is a camp for kids who have lost parents to cancer. What I've learned about all that community service stuff is that the reward already comes when you invest yourself in something you care about. You get the reward. You get the payback all the time by the relationships you make. You get more out of it than you put into it. So you don't really, like to me, you don't really deserve awards for stuff like that. But it does mean a lot to feel like people think you're a productive part of the community, in the community that you grew up in and the community that you love, and in a community that I think is just such a great place, Kansas City. And I can't tell you how many listeners have come volunteered at the Big Steps races over the last 10 years. And it's been very difficult for me to come to grips with the fact that we're not going to do the race anymore after this year. So to have that happen last night, it was a very emotional part of the night for me. And I just want to say thank you to Chad Boger and everybody that made it happen. And thank you to you if you came out. And thank you to every one of you that listened to make Sports Radio 810 WHB a positive part of the community that it is. On that note, we'll take a break. We will come back right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Just another quick thought on the Kansas City Royals, who got a big win yesterday. Because we're going to be talking football pretty much the rest of the show, except for when we have Andy Rogers on at 8:30, because the Chiefs' first preseason game's tomorrow, by the way. Holy cow. Let's go. Let's go. I mean, I am so excited about a preseason football game, and usually I feel like preseason football is pretty hard to watch, but I'm actually like pumped up to see all these young guys. So much youth with the Chiefs, but... So let's get something else in about the Royals. By the way, who open up a series against the juggernaut Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yes, sir.
Tonight at 7:30, and we get to see Daniel Lynch, Brad Keller, and Brady Singer go up against the Dodgers. What a barometer that will be, right? Like, we're excited about these young guys. They got talent. They got skill. They did well against the Red Sox and White Sox. Now they're playing the Dodgers.
It's great, isn't it? It's
you
like,
know, hey,
let's
go.
It lined up kind of perfectly.
Yeah, nothing, you know, look, nothing to lose, right? Now, I mean, the Royals, even though they're exciting right now, they're not going anywhere this season. They're still 19 games under 500. And the Dodgers are 77-33. They're playing 700 baseball. 700 baseball. They've won 10 in a row. Hey, let's give them a shot. You know, nobody's expecting anything from us. Plucky little Kansas City team against the big old Los Angeles Dodgers. You know? Let's have at it. That starts tonight, so I'm really looking forward to that, too. So it should be a great weekend. Sporting Kansas City go down to Austin, Texas to play Austin FC, second-place team in the West. And Sporting seem like they have a little life because they got a couple of new guys, and Eric Tommy and William Agata, who combined for 3 goals last weekend. So that's Saturday night, Chiefs Saturday afternoon, Royals Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Good weekend for sports here as we kind of close down the summer. I don't know about everybody else, but my kids go to school next week. Yikes. My daughter's back to school night is Monday. My son had his on Wednesday because he's in middle school. So here we go. Let's wrap up the summer in a good way. Great weekend coming up. We'll talk about all that and more with Stan Weber coming up next on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. We've got Stan Weber in studio, and it's good because we got a lot to talk about with Stan. He was a big part of the 100-year celebration last night down at the Midland Theater, up on stage with John McGraw, former K-State great, and, of course, Kansas City Chief, and Nick Lecky, who's a regular on the Border Patrol through football season as well, and Todd Lebo. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're up early. I'm impressed that you're here. Marco and his parents were one of the last ones to leave. I know it was getting close to midnight, and I know they were still up. So
yep.
It's usually no one cares about, like, when you're doing a broadcast at a game, no one cares where you sit. You know, if you sit up in a corner at a football stadium and you're a long ways away from the field, yeah, no one cares. It's just tell us what's going on in the game. We're listening to you on radio, and it's a little bit like that as well. No one cares what you did last night or where you were. But since it was a big 810 celebration and a WHB 100-year anniversary celebration, I guess it's okay for us to talk about where we were last night, midnight downtown.
Yeah.
And so to see, I don't know if Marco's parents are up, but he's up fresh, rolling,
look at
running
him.
TV, doing everything else, acting like it's no big deal. And you're here. So congratulations to everybody who put on a show last night and great production. I mean, really great production. The video quality, the preparation before Ben Messner.
He did an amazing job with all those videos.
Josh backstage and Jessica running things. Curtis Siebold played the part very well of the voice.
Yeah.
Transitioning things from one thing to the next. And that was all very well done. Midland Theater's incredible place. Historic.
Yeah.
But still used in a very modern way because the big screen was actually a very good HDTV that everybody could see. And I just, you know, when I watch television, the pre-produced, other than games, the pre-produced things are really the best. Rather than seeing three or four people sit on TV and talk and try to argue, which is what we see a lot on television, you know, if you go to a 3-minute or 5-minute production that's been put together through hours and hours and hours of video and everything, so they cut it down to a very smooth story. I always, you know, if I'm watching television on ESPN or something, they have one of those prepackaged parts. It pulls me in. You know, it's so well done. And last night, over and over and over again, if you don't understand how it's all done, that was being done up there. The history of WHB, a real respect for all 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of maybe every ownership group who owned it, the format, and just little dabs of it, it would come in and you'd watch it for 30 seconds or a minute and you'd move on. And all that video production stuff was really incredible. And getting people, Jim Rome, Tom Watson, Chase Daniel, you know, people that weren't here had great videos prepared. So that kind of stuff, that behind-the-scenes stuff that we get a chance to know about, was so well done and so well produced. And so those are things where I was sitting with my jaw dropped going, wow, that's really well done. The video, the audio, the transitions, and all that. And then they had to listen to guys like you and me step up
right.
and start talking.
It was hopefully
it wasn't too big a drop off, but the
it was great. Your panel was really good. I know we had worked on getting Coach Snyder there, and he really wanted to be there, and he tried really hard to get there, but dealt with some serious travel issues, which I feel like anybody who's traveling these days can identify with. But we had John McGraw and Nick Leckie up there, and they told some incredible stories about their time at K-State. And John McGraw is a really – I had a chance to really spend some time with him, and what he's doing in his life now is really remarkable stuff. He basically – taught himself how to recover from post-concussion issues by doing mental therapy. And he teaches other people how to do those things. And you can tell what a sharp guy he is. And it was great when he talked about Bill Snyder. He said, look, everybody wants to know the secret to what Bill Snyder did. And the secret is there's no secret. Hard work, accountability, dedication, attention to detail. It's not a secret. He just did all that stuff, and he walked the walk better than anybody else. It was really cool. You could see from two of his, and he's had so many great players there over the years, but those two guys talking about him the way they did on stage, to me, was one of those, a really good window into what a remarkable person and coach Bill Snyder is.
Yeah, they did a good job, and we appreciate them stepping in because they were not scheduled to go up on stage with us at all. John McGraw was going to sit with Coach Snyder and me at the event, and Coach Snyder was in for a long, long time, and all of a sudden, his plane got canceled, and then that was the night before. Woke up the next morning and couldn't get on any new flights. Mm. Actually had to rent a car and start driving. It had no chance to make it all the way back to Kansas City in time, so we were going to stand up there with Bill Snyder, which had been really great because Gary Pinkel was there with Mizzou, and Bill Self was there for Kansas. But not being there allowed us to talk in great appreciation for Coach Snyder. Yeah. Probably would have been a little bit harder if he were there to give him the love that he deserves.
So he wouldn't sit up there and talk about how great he was.
Yeah,
you know?
So it allowed us an opportunity to do that. And John, I know him well from Riley. One of those stories, walk on, then made it and ended up being a pro and a Kansas City Chief. So there's extra ties there, I thought. And he played in the era during basically the late 90s. And then in Nick Leckie, a little bit younger, won a Super Bowl. So he also has, you know, for this group here, we're a lot of stars from a lot of different sports, Kansas City and beyond, a lot of media members. You know, they don't want to just hear about a little story about K-State probably to keep everybody's attention. So, you know, Nick Leckie won a Super Bowl, and then he also played it another time. And so it was really good to hear from those guys. I want to point out on the air right now, because Coach Snyder wasn't there, and we're a little bit of a hurry. When I was thinking about Coach Snyder and having him there for this event, I looked back and I go, wait a second. You know how the SEC is so dominant right now that you think the national champion is going to come from the SEC? That's pretty normal. We're getting ready for the college football season, and who do you think's going to – what conference do you think's going to represent and win a national championship?
Maybe Alabama.
Or if not, it's Georgia.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Don't you think – LSU maybe a couple years ago with Joe Burrow.
Yep.
But when the Big 8 converted to the Big 12 in 1996, Bill Snyder started coaching in 1989. Mitch Holtis and I were partners. Mitch was teaching me how to be a radio broadcaster. The great longtime voice of the Kansas City Chiefs was at K-State. Actually, his first year was my last year playing. So he broadcast my senior year when I played. And now here I was in a booth as a youngster with him. And in year one, 87, 88, we don't win a game. Had one tie in 88. Snyder comes in 89, wins one game on a last-second play against North Texas State. And so Bill Snyder in 1990 gets things going. And then in the face of that, Colorado wins a national championship in 1990. Now, Oklahoma and Nebraska are always great, Nate. Okay? You remember.
Oh, yeah.
Colorado won a national championship at that point. So that's how good the Big 8 was. And here Bill Snyder's trying to build the program. So he advances it forward, and in 1993, he busts through, and he wins a bowl game. Chad May finds a special quarterback, and K-State finds a way with Kevin Lockett, who later became a Chief. His son, obviously, is a superstar, Tyler, at the Seattle Seahawks, and then he's got a son who's a freshman now at K-State who came from Blue Valley, who came in. So you know, all these ties, so they finally break through. And then I looked at the period for 7 years, from 1994 to 2000. During that seven-year period of college football, Bill Snyder was trying to build his program, which isn't easy ever. And during that period, four times a Big 8 or Big 12 team won a national championship.
Wow.
Four times. Wow. While he did that. So from 1994 to 2000, Bill Snyder's fighting and clawing and building this program, you're thinking. Mm-hmm. And during that period, I point out, do you realize he had five different starting quarterbacks? Now, you can mention some great times at Kansas when you won the Orange Bowl, mm-hmm. and you probably have one quarterback in mind, mm-hmm. Todd
yeah.
Reesing.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Chase Daniel, man, what does he mean to Mizzou? They had some good quarterbacks, but you know Chase was special getting him over the hump. But Bill Snyder had five different quarterbacks during his 7 years. He's playing against literally national championship-level teams, and all he did during that seven-year period was never win less than nine games. Four times win 11 games in the year, and one time won 10. He had an average year of 10.2 wins per year during that period. And of all those 7 years, probably, and you know this about Kansas basketball when you have kind of that special teams, of that 7 years, I can objectively say the 1998 number one ranked K-State team that finished the regular season before the Big 12 championship game against Texas A&M undefeated might have been the best team of the whole crew.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they, you know, K-State lost that game, so yeah. they didn't win the national championship. So just to think what he did, that's John McGraw's time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. And then I looked over at Nick Lecky and I go, well, wait a second. He was there in 03 when K-State actually broke through, won a Big 12 championship. My buddy Colin Klein's the offensive coordinator at work at K-State. He couldn't be there, obviously, and they won it again in 2012. So everyone thinks about 2003, 2012, Bill Snyder 1.0 and then 2.0, all of that. I'm thinking, I just went back yesterday and go, oh, my gosh, this seven-year period, it's so forgotten compared to what we think about the mm-hmm. SEC. So we could go on and on and on about Bill Snyder. I wish he would have been there. He committed. He always, almost always makes things that he says he's going to do. But it kind of, in a way, allowed us to talk more glowingly yeah. about him
yeah.
that he wasn't there. I think everyone would have loved to shake his hand because we had a good time.
Yeah.
You know, the people that were there as celebrities or whatever, it was great to see the interaction with us all together.
Yeah.
Because we may
it was cool.
have our little niche and mm-hmm. fans may know about us, but we don't necessarily get a chance to run into each other, talk all the time. And that was really a fun part of it for us last
yeah.
night.
Well, because everybody in there is also, they're not only are they personalities, they're sports fans too. So they know who you are, you know who they are. And it's kind of cool to see everybody, you know, you put them in the same room and let them get together. That was really neat to watch. And that's a fantastic story about Bill Snyder as well. We'll take a break. We got Stan Weber in studio. We'll start talking about what's coming up with the Chiefs preseason game tomorrow, what we're looking for there, and much more straight ahead on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. For the preseason game, and once we get to the 7 o'clock hour, Stan, we'll be able to get into it a little bit more long form. But so, since we're on television and we have the time constraints, how about a little cliff notes of, I know you and I have talked about this preseason a little more exciting than maybe the last few have been. What are a couple things you're most excited about for tomorrow's game?
Well, last year's the first year we had three instead of four preseason mm-hmm. games, so by definition every play is more important now. What you heard Andy Reid say is so exciting because a lot of NFL teams have just said, we're not playing our starters.
Right.
Our good players aren't going to play for any of the three games. I don't think that's the best course to being great on week one. So, but to see the process of maybe having Patrick Mahomes for, he said one quarter, but even if he makes it two series, would be mm-hmm. incredible to watch. But I'm obviously watching for the youngsters. And the definition would start with the draft choices. Just go down the draft list. Yeah. And you want to say who you're watching, every one of those players could make an impact or be on their way to getting cut. It can happen, you know,
yeah.
if you're the seventh or sixth round pick. So how do they play? How do they react? And then overall, one thing to think about is the physicality of the tackling. You watch the preseason, there's a 7 yard run. How does the play end? Does it end with a guy coming across at someone's waist and tackle him over to the side, you know, to the side and a bunch of players running up and you go, okay, 7 yard gain? Or do you see some pads popping and people hitting people backwards? Like, wow, it's a 7-yard run, but it could have been an 8 or 9-yard run because that person flew backwards. He hit him in the upper torso. You know, you don't want to hit him in the head, but are they knocking him backwards? Are there two guys there? Nick Bolton is a guy who hits people, but he needs to be the player who is one of instead of the one who's doing that. You see him tackle somebody, and once in a while you go, whoa, he showed up. But the other 10 guys, Tyrann Mathieu, the whole crew, Chris Jones, these are good players. Don't get me wrong. Frank Clark can get it done at times. You can talk about the Chiefs, but how many guys hit and tackle with the passion and drive people backwards? That's what it appears the Chiefs drafted for with these defensive players. Starting with McDuffie, he's a cornerback, but to me, he's a Tyrann Mathieu, feels very comfortable up in the line of scrimmage, in the backfield on blitzes. Are there going to be people that tackle hard? That's one thing I'm going to be watching, because that's the trend line I think the Chiefs need to make to be a better football team. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid will find a way on offense. I still think that Tyreek Hill not being there is going to make a step back, and there's going to be some things that have to happen to have the Chiefs step up. But generally, the offense will be fine. The defense has got to be better. They've been trying to win Super Bowls with a average defense that picks a 4-game sequence and goes, oh, look at this, we played better.
Yeah,
you know, you can't do that. Be good all year long, you know, good defense.
And really, an average defense when they were peaking, right? Like, it's like a lot of times the conversation I feel like the last few years was, if they can just get this defense out of the bottom third into the middle third, that's enough, and they can go to the Super Bowl and win. You'd like to see if you can have a defense that starts in the middle third and says, hey, maybe if they play a little better, they can get towards the top 10, you know?
Right.
And we'll see. So that's going to be great. So I got that written down. That's how do the plays end? I love that concept. How does it end? Is it a guy dragging somebody 4 more yards across the first down mark, or is it a guy getting hit
and
stopped in
his tracks?
It's
not the number of yards, too. You hit on it. I don't care if it's a 2-yard gain or a 7-yard gain. I want to see how it ends, because the Chiefs have not been a physical football team. And modern football is different.
Yep.
It's not all about – it's not the 85 Bears.
But it is still a collision
but
sport.
It's something the Chiefs can improve on.
Yeah.
And it looks like they drafted the type of players that want to do that.
We'll talk much more in depth with that with Stan Weber as we continue. We'll wrap things up on 38 The Spot right after this.